Cybercrime is not a new problem.
Life in the modern world has a new anxiety these days. Just as we've become totally dependent on our computers, they're being stalked by saboteurs. Saboteurs who create computer viruses.
That's newscaster Carmen Fields from a 1988 broadcast on WGBH in Boston. She was reporting on the Morris worm, a virus that crawled into 10% of all computers that were connected to the Internet at that time. 20 years ago this weekend, its creator, Robert T. Morris, became the first person to be indicted for a cybercrime. And since then, hundreds of other hackers have been prosecuted for similar crimes, prosecuted by U.S. attorneys who are part of special teams called CHIP units. It stands for Computer Hacking and Intellectual Property. Matthew Perella is chief of the CHIP unit in Silicon Valley, California, the first one created. I asked him about the legacy of the Robert Morris indictment.
Well, certainly it was the first implementation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, so it was important in and of itself as a prosecution. But it was also important to communicate a message that this type of crime would be prosecuted and would be investigated.
20 years ago, presumably it was relatively difficult for somebody like Robert Morris to get away with what he did. How easy is it today for a computer hacker to send out a virus and never be found?
Well, there's a much greater security presence, but still there's a tremendous amount of different varieties of viruses out there. And there are actually areas in the Internet where if you know where to go and you know how to get in there, you'll be able to just download already written malicious code and utilize it. So to answer your question, it becomes a little bit easier because today, the hacker doesn't need to actually sit down and write the code. They can obtain the code ready-made, so to speak, from a website of like-minded individuals.
How much of what you do now deals with trying to find out, track down who is infecting the Internet?
Quite a bit. Part of the difficulty in this area of investigation is that we could have a victim company in Silicon Valley have their network intruded upon, and we will trace the hack. The final step we'll be able to trace it to will be an ISP in Eastern Europe or Southeast Asia or something like that. And this is a relatively common occurrence, the origination from areas where we have difficulty obtaining evidence.
So at that point, so to speak, the trail runs cold.
Well, it can. It's critical for us in this area and for the United States as a whole to develop relationships with these countries, whether it's by treaty or otherwise, to help obtain evidence in these cybercrime matters. For instance, I had a prosecution a few years back of a major counterfeiter of Microsoft products who was a Singaporean citizen, and Singapore would not extradite one of their own citizens, and we ran an undercover operation where this individual was lured to Hong Kong, arrested on our arrest warrant, and it took us 2.5 years to extradite her from Hong Kong to San Jose, where she was prosecuted. Ultimately, she pleaded guilty. And so you can see there's a tremendous amount of obstacles there. I mean, that's not leaving the store with the stolen CDs in their backpack. That's a huge effort.
There's something that we're hearing a lot about now. It's called cloud computing.
Yeah.
First of all, can you briefly explain what that is?
Well, it's moving many of the applications and computing power from the private individual's PC onto a series of systems that's operated by a provider. So your PC or your workstation or your company's network will operate more efficiently because it doesn't need to store and run the actual applications. That's being done in the cloud, as it's said. There is obviously a disadvantage, which is the old saw about Sutton's law, which is that you rob banks because that's where the money is. In this case, these cloud computing centers will become targets, and that is what I see as being on the horizon for cybercrime.
So, I mean, how are you going to tackle this?
Well, in any cybercrime, there's always a trail. There's always something left behind, whether it be a log or something left in deleted file space or something like that. If we have access to the evidence, we can usually put it together. However, it does require companies to obey, good security procedures. By and large, these companies realize that in order to do business, they need to be secure.
Matthew Perella is chief of the Computer Hacking and Intellectual Property Unit for the U.S. Attorney's Office. He spoke to me from just outside of San Jose, California. Mr. Perella, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.